Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So we have a lesson in prayer today. And the first reading is an example of prayer. And the example of prayer is from Abraham praying over the city of Sodom. And the city of Sodom had fallen into horrible sexual sin. It's where we get the word sodomy from. And so sodomy was a sin that had infected the people of this city. They had forgotten the purpose of their body. They had forgotten the reason for human sexuality. And they were acting out in ways that were against nature. And Abraham saw that God was going to destroy this place. And what did he do? He set about praying for them, right? Praying his mercy. He says, if you find 50, you heard it, 50, 20, 45, 40, 30, like an auctioneer. Let's see how many. And at the end of the day, we didn't get all the way through the reading, but if you know the story, you know what happens and what happens. He didn't find 10 innocent people. The only innocent people in the city were Abraham and his family. And God called them out of the city, and then the city was destroyed. That's really not the point of the reading today. The point of the reading is this, is that Abraham prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. This persistence in prayer. So we turn for a moment now from the first reading now to the gospel. And you heard it. You heard the gospel. Jesus was praying. And when he finished praying, his disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And if you paid attention, you realized that while Jesus taught a version of the Our Father, he did not teach the Our Father that we're familiar with, right? The Our Father appears in the gospel in two places. It appears in the Gospel of Luke in the form I just read, and it appears in the Gospel of Matthew in the form that we're all very familiar with, that we pray at Mass and we pray in the Our Father in the Rosary. Matthew's version is longer. Now, when he asks Jesus to teach us to pray, I think the first point is that sometimes we pray memorized prayers. Sometimes we pray prayers that are given to us. Do we have to pray them exactly word for word, just like this? And if we miss a word, we've messed it all up and it doesn't work? No, that's part of the point, is that Jesus even used different words between the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. But the theme that Jesus is teaching us how to pray is the same. So what was the first thing, the very first thing that Jesus said in response to the question or the request, teach us to pray? And it was to pray that God's name be hallowed. First, address God as your Father. I don't tire of reminding people, and I don't tire of reminding you tonight that you are God's beloved children. We don't always have great examples of fatherhood in our lives, but we all have an understanding of what a good and holy Father is. And God is the best of all fathers. He's the model of fatherhood. And so Jesus says, call God your Father. God our Father. And so after we address God as Father, then the first petition. And it's a word we don't use very often anymore. He says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, to make holy, to be revered, to be honored, to be respected. And again, I went over this not that many months ago, that in our world today, how are we doing with this? How well do we honor the name of God? How well do we revere God's name? How well do we respect it in our speech? So what if the whole world made it a priority to honor and respect the name of God? And so that's the first thing. Jesus, you ask Jesus again. I go back to the coffee shop. There you are. Maybe it's not a coffee shop. Maybe you're having your whatever your favorite beverage is, and you're sitting across the table, and there's Jesus sitting in front of you, and you're having a conversation. And you've said, how do you pray? And he says, well, this is how you pray. Father, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the rule of God, that God would be the Lord of your life and my life and the whole world. That's what it means to pray that God's kingdom come, that God is king. You ever pray that? See, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And immediately after, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, comes our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day forgiveness. Give us this day the ability to forgive others. You ever pray for those things? These are the very essential things that Jesus is teaching us to pray for. These are the things that we need. This is what should shape our prayer life. And then, immediately after this little abbreviated version of the Our Father, Jesus tells a story. And it's the story of the persistent friend. And I won't tell the whole story again, but I'll just recap it for you. So, somebody's got a visitor. They come to his house at midnight. He doesn't have any food to offer him, so what does he do? He goes next door and pounds on the neighbor's door, right? Real good neighbor, right? You're looking forward to having a neighbor like that someday, I know. So he doesn't just pound on the door. He keeps pounding on it. And from inside, the neighbor says, go away. And what is his response? He keeps pounding on the door. And amazingly, Jesus is using this to teach us what? How to pray. Keep pounding on the door. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Sometimes people will be like, well, Father Mike, you know, I prayed for 2 minutes yesterday. I didn't get what I wanted, and I don't know about this prayer thing. I don't think it works, okay? Prayer isn't, it's not like a vending machine. And we put our dollar in it. We select Honey Bun or Nutty Bar or whatever it is, and it drops down, and we pick it out and say, I said my prayer, I got my treat, off I go. That's not the way it works. In fact, prayer is very often an exercise in faith itself. We pray because we believe. And we believe that God hears us, and we believe, and we pray, and we knock. And you know, the absurdity that Jesus uses this story about this kind of rude neighbor that would come over and pound on your door until you get up. It's like, forget convention, forget public opinion. Get on your knees and pray. Pray with abandon. Pray without worrying about what someone else is going to say about how you pray. This is Jesus teaching us to pray, pounding on the door, persisting in our prayer. So the first lesson of prayer is to remember that God is your Father and that you want God's name to be holy. You want his kingdom to come. The second lesson that Jesus teaches us in prayer is to persist. Ask and seek and knock. And then the third thing that Jesus teaches us in this lesson, because again, we're back sitting with Jesus, looking at him eye to eye. We've asked him this question, teach me to pray. And this is his answer. Ask and seek and knock. And then he says, Don't be insulted when he says this, because he's speaking to the human family of which I am a member. And he looks out at those people asking him the question, and he says, you who are wicked, you know how to give good things to your children. Now I'm going to ask for a show of hands here, okay? I want you to raise your hand. If your son asked you for an egg because he was hungry, would you hand him a scorpion? I saw one hand starting to go up, but yeah. No, of course not. Even though we have our flaws, even though we have our blindness, we know how to give good things to our children when it's in our power to give them. And so Jesus uses this example of earthly children and earthly parents who know how to give the gifts that the children need. And Jesus says, if you're going to give your children what they need, how much more is your Heavenly Father going to not give you what you want all the time, but what you need? It goes back to the story about the five-year-old kid, right, that wants a BB gun. And he wants a BB gun bad, you know? And his parents are mean because they don't give him a BB gun, right? But as sure as he got a BB gun, somebody's eye was going to be put out. You know that, right? And so we have this Jesus given this kind of very practical, concrete example of parenting. So he says, ask and seek and knock and persist in prayer and remember that God is your Father. And then it's like, okay, I'm with you, Jesus. I understand. And then he throws this on us out of nowhere. He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And you're like, I wasn't asking for the Holy Spirit. I was asking for bread. I was asking for fish. I was asking for a new house and a new car and a new job. But what does Jesus really want to give you? He really wants to give you the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the things that we are asking for might very well be like a snake or like a scorpion. They might not be good for our soul, good for our spiritual life. I'm going to do my very best to tell the story quickly, but it's a true story of my own spiritual journey. I remember my prayer life, and my prayer life was essentially giving God the list of things that He could do for me and the timeline in which I wanted Him to accomplish these things for me. Okay, all right, Lord, these are the things I want. This is the job I want. This is the boat I want. This is the house I want. This is the wife I'd like to have. These are the kind of children I want. You know, these are the things I want. Hurry up and get to work on these things, okay? So that's the way I prayed. It's been a while praying that way, not getting a lot of satisfaction about some of those things. And then one day, God broke into my prayer, and He said, you know, Michael, how about a prayer of gratitude? Give me one prayer of thanksgiving. Why don't you open your eyes to all that you have and quit focusing on the things that you don't have? And it was a profoundly powerful, moving experience the way God did that. I'm going to try to tell the story in 5 minutes. I could take an hour to tell the story. So He opened my eyes to the things that I was blind to, always asking for things and never recognizing what I had. So I go back to praying, and now I would pray in thanksgiving sometimes. But I kind of continued to have my list of demands. this is what I want, this is how I want it, this is when I want it. And that would be my habit of prayer. And I thought I was a good Christian man praying, Lord, give me this, give me that. And then again, and I heard the voice of God, and I heard the voice of God speak to me, and he said to me in a way that I am absolutely certain, there's no way I'll ever believe anything differently, that the voice of God spoke to my heart and said, Michael, I already know what you want. And that was all the words that I heard, but I heard those words. I already know what you want. But into my soul flooded some other truths. I know you better than you know yourself. You only think you know what you want. You look at the world through the lens of your fallen nature. You look at the world through the wickedness that is your broken spirit. You look at the world through selfishness. And I know what you want. You only think you know what you want. You spend all of your time telling me what you want and what I should do for you. And all of the while, I have better things for you. Why don't you ask me what I want for you? Why don't you pray the way I taught you to pray? And how did Jesus teach us to pray? Well, first of all, he taught us to call God our Father and to pray that his name be holy and hallowed and to pray that his kingdom come. Remember that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I prayed that way. I prayed maybe for the first time in my life, the Our Father, meaning what I was praying, knowing what I was praying, having had God give me the Holy Spirit even when I wasn't asking for it. I was just knocking and seeking and asking for my own things. But I persisted, and ultimately he poured out a little bit of the Spirit on me. And I'm grateful that he did. And so, brothers and sisters, let's go back to our coffee shop. Let's go back to our kitchen table. Let's go back to our room where we're looking across the table at Jesus, and we ask him, how do we pray? And what does he say? Pray that my name is holy. Pray that my kingdom come. Pray for the mercy of forgiveness and that you can forgive others. Persist in your prayer. Knock and ask and seek. Remember, I'm a good father, and I give good gifts to my children, and I will give you the Holy Spirit. Today, my brothers and sisters, let us persist in our prayer for the things that we truly need.